In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Right now, on this Saturday evening after Thanksgiving, we're at a key moment in the liturgical year, not because of Thanksgiving, but because tomorrow we begin Advent. The cycle begins anew in preparation for our Lord's arrival. Right now, we're on the threshold of the past, if you will, and just last week, last Sunday, we celebrated the great solemnity of Jesus Christ the King, King of the universe, so the culmination of the liturgical year, a representation of what is real. Jesus is King forever and ever, right now. But we being human and in time, we have a certain need to celebrate these things, to go through the journey, if you will, of salvation history. And so now we begin this Saturday evening in this oratory here in Manhattan. We come, Lord, we come here to pray. And we pray with joyful hope. There's a section of the Mass, some prayers in the Mass, right after the Our Father, very appropriate for this time of the year of Advent. It will sound very familiar to you. After the Our Father, we pray, deliver us, Lord, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress. As we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Since that's Advent, we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, our church teaches us that twofold meaning of Advent. Well, first of all, the word Advent itself just simply means arrival, adventus, to approach, to arrive, okay? And we prepare for the arrival of the historical arrival of Jesus to this earth, the second person of the Trinity, taking on our flesh, the incarnation, and the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. So during this time of Advent, we remember that. In a sense, we look back to that arrival of God made man to this earth. So much did God love us that he took on our flesh. God the Father so loved the world, he sent his only Son. And that happened. That's about 2,000 years ago. It's historical. And we look back to that historical moment with great joy and gratitude to God. And it's fitting that we prepare these 4 weeks of Advent for the celebration of that birth of Christ in Bethlehem. So that's one aspect of Advent, looking back to the arrival of Jesus upon this earth. And a second meaning of Advent, we look forward to the second coming of Christ at the end of time. And that's what we pray about in the Mass after the Our Father, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our life, every moment of our life is an expectation of the second coming of Christ. In a sense, we should be ready, we should be awake. We'll see that in the theme, the liturgy of these days of Advent. Be awake, be ready. And that can be arduous. Sometimes we're ready for a day or two and something that we are expecting, but if the time goes on, we We might become complacent or even lose a bit of hope. So, and even in that, this time of Advent can be a good wake-up call for us, that we make that effort day by day to do God's will. In a certain sense, to listen to our Blessed Mother Mary at the wedding of Cana, who said to those servants, do whatever he tells you. It was to do it for love. That's who we are. We want to be with Christ, followers of Christ. We have the same mind as Christ Jesus, St. Paul writes to the Philippians. And so, yes, let's strive to do whatever he tells us. Our Blessed Mother gives us wonderful advice, and she'll help us. So this time of Advent, let's try to prepare for his coming. And that day by day by day, as our Lord said, we don't know the day or the hour as far as the ultimate moment. If we knew, maybe we'd look upon things differently, maybe not, I don't know. Might be a more of an intense countdown, if you will. And perhaps some of you are following a sporting event that is going on in the world this time. It's called the World Cup, a big football or soccer match going on. It happens every 4 years. And I guess it must have been on Tuesday, one of the favorites lost unexpectedly. Argentina lost to Saudi Arabia. Completely unexpected. And I don't know. I didn't talk to any friends from Argentina since then. I can only imagine that they must have been in shock, in a way, after that loss to Saudi Arabia. Wasn't expected. Maybe a certain crisis mode went into some of those wonderful Argentines. But they had the advantage of knowing that they would play again after a three-day rest. And that day was today. And today they defeated Mexico 2-0. Peace is restored in many hearts in Argentina and around the world. I can only imagine what the players were thinking during those 3 days. The focus, the intensity, the concentration of what they had to do to win. If they lost to Mexico today, or perhaps even with a draw, they may not have continued on in the tournament in the next round. So, but they had that advantage. Okay, we have 3 days of preparation, and we're going to go out and do our best. And they did. They won today. Well, we don't know. We don't know the day or the hour. But in a certain sense, Lord, help us to have that same intensity that those Argentine players must have had for the goal they had in mind to win the match today. Well, we have a much more important match to win. If St. Paul describes it in sporting terms himself, we have to run the race. We have to win the laurel, but a much greater laurel than any earthly laurel, which is the crown given to the victor of a race. We are aiming for heaven. And that brings us back to this theme of Advent. What are we waiting for? Well, Jesus, okay, yes, of course, Jesus, we're waiting for your arrival so that we can have a nice Christmas family atmosphere. Well, that's a little part of it, but that's not the reason Jesus came to earth, just so we can have a nice Christmas gatherings. No, we need to be saved. That's why we have this great joy and this expectation, this hope, because we need to be saved. We need eternal life, and we can't get there on our own. We're not Pelagianists. Jesus, I trust in you. And Jesus, I hope for you. The new year, new liturgical year beginning right now. I mean, already there have been masses. The Saturday evening mass has already happened. Advent masses have already been celebrated. We're in Advent. And it's a new opportunity for us. It's a new hope for salvation. It's, start it, begin again, in a way. St. Jose Maria liked that optimism we should have. Begin and begin again. Well, here's a perfect time to begin again. Maybe our spiritual life has been a bit stagnant. Maybe we've fallen into a bit of a rut. Maybe we have some good ideas that we've been thought up, or someone suggested to us, spiritual direction, and about prayer, about sanctifying our work, about dealing with people. And maybe there's difficult situations in life and relationships. And we have had that desire to make it better. And it just hasn't been working. And maybe we've gone a bit flat in any of these areas. Well, here's the time. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From that psalm from the Old Testament, we can certainly apply that to today, the first day on the eve, or on the eve of the first day of Advent. And indeed, let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we await the blessed hope of the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that prayer after the Our Father Mass reminds us of the reason we should be joyful and hopeful, and why we need Jesus to come to us, and that's because of sin. The prayer, really, it's about struggle. It's about difficulties. It's about sin. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. We have to confront evil. The devil, the fallen angel, he wants to make things difficult for people to get close to God. And so, Lord, we pray, deliver us from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days. Lord, we want peace. We need peace. There's conflict at the world level, at the community level, family level, in my own personal heart. There's a need for peace. That's what St. Jose Maria would say. First of all, we need peace in our hearts. If we want to try to bring peace to the world, I need to find peace in my heart. I need to get good with God. I need to be who I'm called to be. The person that God wants me to be, the person that I am in the eyes of God. God loves me. God loves me unconditionally. God has made me. We are made in the image and likeness of God. Advent, the Savior, this need for Jesus, it's trying to bring us back to this image and likeness of God that we all have, and we should live out. God respects our freedom. We're not forced to live within the dignity that God has given us as children of God. We're free to waver away from that. We call that sin. And Lord, we need you. Because without you, Lord, we can do nothing, as Jesus said. And it's good that we have this this journey, this effort that we have to make as our life goes along. As St. Paul exhorts the Ephesians, and take this to heart. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Ephesians 4:1. That's St. Paul sets it up for us. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And we've been called in holiness. We're sons of God, daughters of God. Earlier on in this letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. That's the way our Lord wants us to be, to live. That we should strive to be blameless, to be holy and blameless before him. He's had this in mind for us before the foundation of the world. That's how much God loves us. And so we get this time of Advent, this hope, this expectation, that this new beginning. It's like the Lord has given us a new chance. Now, of course, we want to have our soul prepared, that wonderful Christmas carol, right? The prepare him room. God rest you merry gentlemen. I'm sorry, Joy to the World. So many wonderful Christmas carols have the message, Joy to the World. Prepare him room. That's a good theme for Lent. And well, Lord, give me purity. Cleanse me, Lord. Take away my pride and my anger and my lust and my gluttony and my avarice, my anger, Lord. Cleanse me. I want to prepare room for you to be there. We pray, Lord, that you come. Even the morning mass today, Saturday morning, the last daily mass of the year, had from the psalm after the first reading, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Some of the last words of Scripture, the last words of the Book of Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus, come. That's what we want. It's good that we yearn for that, and that we pray, that we beg for that coming of the Lord. But we don't want to be complacent. That's what when we just, you know, I don't know, life goes along, weeks go along, months go along, years go along. We just, there might be a certain complacency, but there should be a bit of holy urgency in our attitude. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, I long to see your face. I long to do your will. And Jesus said in the gospel this morning, again, Saturday of the 34th week of ordinary time, Jesus said to his disciples, beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that the day catch you by surprise like a trap. I want to be ready. The Lord is not asking us to be, I don't know, that's right, perfectionists or doing impossible things, but the duty of the moment, yeah, we can try to do that. Fulfilling our obligations, oh, okay, that's a way to be prepared, to be awake. Taking some time to pray. Jesus said, pray always, do not lose heart. And the saints, so many different ways, reminding us of the need to pray. I think it was St. Teresa of Avila who said that the person who doesn't pray doesn't need a devil to tempt him. If he's not praying, he's already in his tough shape. Let's not become drowsy. Be attentive to the Lord. And yes, Mary, help us to do whatever he tells us. No matter the cost, God is everything. God comes first. I must love and obey God. We have that wonderful example of Abraham in the Old Testament, right? After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Even that little phrase, remember Scripture? There's something there that can help us. So just the fact that Abraham is attentive, here I am. We should have that attitude as we go along our day and not be drowsy. Here I am. It's time to get out of bed. When the alarm clock goes off, here I am. Adzum. And when it's time to get to work and start to work, here I am. And it's time to turn off the computer, turn off the video game, or the YouTube sports highlights. And when it's time for that, here I am. It's time to get to bed, to get good night rest, to serve the Lord the next day. Here I am. So this response of Abraham is telling. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And then the very next verse. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering. and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. With that, the faith, Abraham gets to work. Of course, you must have been going crazy inside. This is my son Isaac. I can't even imagine what would be going on in the mind of Abraham at that moment, internally. But what's there, which we just take the facts as they are. He's here I am, and he gets up and he goes. And he gets the wood for the sacrifice. He brings his son Isaac. On the third day, Abraham, long journey, whatever it takes to do God's will. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." He's not lying. There's a real depth here. In Abraham's words, of course, he doesn't want the two helpers, the two servants to be there. So he says, okay, you guys go over there. I and the lad, Isaac, will go yonder and worship and come to you again. Abraham is intending to kill his son, to sacrifice his son. That is the worship that God has requested of him. That is how Abraham is going to worship God. Obedience, how pleasing obedience is to the Lord God. And more than obedience, faith. This is a great test of faith on the part of Abraham. And he goes about it with just a real obedience. So they both went up together. And Isaac said to his father, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And here again, we see this attentiveness, even to his son, to God above, yes, here I am, and to his son. "Father, here I am." There's a lot of lessons for us. Be available. He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Of course, it's all a foreshadowing of Jesus, right? The wood, Jesus will be laid on the wood, Jesus will be nailed to the cross. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Of course, Abraham's son Isaac is spared. Unlike the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God the Father gives us his son, and he does allow his son to be sacrificed for us. Our Lord Jesus does suffer the passion, the torture, the humiliation, the death of the cross. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. But here Isaac is spared. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you. And I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore." This great promise that the Lord makes to Abraham, part of that is his his adsum, his here I am, his I will obey. In a way, we all need that Isaac moment, if we want to put it that way. Kierkegaard, he mentioned of it in one of his writings, that we all have to be like Abraham and come to the moment of the decision, in a way. It's God is everything. God must be everything. He said, infinite resignation is the last stage before faith. So anyone who has not made this movement does not have faith. Now, this is a philosopher speak. We don't, it's not scripture, but there's something here about what he calls infinite resignation. God deserves everything of my life. You know, not just, okay, here's my tithing, and you know, okay, here's my time helping out in the catechism at the school, and which is good, of course, those good things. That's going to be part of this, what has to be our infinite resignation to God. Our Isaac, we have to give Isaac to God, our own Isaac. Am I willing to do that? What is my Isaac? One must give up all his or her earthly possessions in infinite resignation and must also be willing to give up whatever it is that he or she loves more than God. But that, well, they will take hope. Lord, here I am waiting in joyful hope, expecting in joyful hope. Lord, come. Jesus, come. Because without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I'm going to protect all the Isaacs I have in my life. And my pride, my anger, my grudges, my time, my money, my preferences, all mine. I'll fake it a little. I'll throw a few, you know, tidbits out there. But no, that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants our very being. He wants our person, our love, our subjective self. And in that way, we will be with God. Adsum. Here I am, but we gotta be like Abraham. Let's ask our Blessed Mother to help us in this. She, of course, at the Annunciation said, "Here I am. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." And it would require everything of her whole life. You know, not just to give birth to the Savior, and then he's on his way saving the world. No, Mary gives her whole life, her very being, to this great endeavor. Well, that's the wrong way to put it. She gives her whole being to God, not just a salvation history. She gives her whole being to God. And we too want Mary to help us to do that, of course. We have to pray about it and listen to the Lord and what does that mean in my life? But let's really be attentive to that and take advantage of this new time, this time of hope, waiting in joyful hope, to listen to the Lord and to be faithful to God in obedience and love. That ultimately is where we find joy. The great paradox, precisely by giving ourselves, by denying ourselves, we find joy. Indeed, our Blessed Mother will help us along the way. She truly is Queen of Joy. And so we pray, Mary, with you, in this time of Advent, waiting in joyful hope, help us to say yes to our Father God. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.